Good morning. Great to see you in the house of the Lord on this day the Lord has blessed us with. Let us rejoice and water has an importance in our life. Now, if you were to rank the importance of water using, let's say, a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being it's very important, what number would you give it? Yeah, it's pretty safe, right? The majority of us, if not all of us, have said and would say 5. It is very important. It is important to us physically. It hydrates our body, especially during these hot days of summer. It's important in putting out fires, something we definitely have to deal with this time of year. It also has a spiritual importance, especially in the gift of holy baptism. And our children learned that this week during VBS. As we continue our service then today, we want to talk about the importance of water and how that importance connects to a discussion related to God's promises. Promises He has kept and has every intention of keeping. To Him be the glory as we worship Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We direct our attention to our first hymn, Hymn 250, found in the red hymnal. Please stand as we continue on page 4 of the service bulletin. O Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God. Give glory to God, our light and our life. Thank you. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this ninth Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from the book of Numbers, helping us carry out that theme of God keeping his promises. And one of those promises is that God always provides faithful shepherds for his people. In this case, a transition from Moses to Joshua. We hear these words. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin." Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he had laid his hands on him and commissioned him, as the Lord instructed through Moses. This is the word of our Lord. Let us continue with the singing of hymn 766, found in the blue hymn book, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
Thank you.
Lord Jesus truly is that great shepherd who keeps his promises and provides for his people. Reminder of this once again in our second lesson from Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Please read with me this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue that theme of our service in our next hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, 771 in the blue hymnal. Please rise for the gospel reading. So in the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 6th chapter, how important that last hymn was, as it's a reminder that by nature we truly are sheep without a shepherd, but the Lord Jesus is our great shepherd, and as mentioned, provides faithful shepherds to shepherd the flock. We hear these words of our Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. The many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is the gospel of the Lord. Some of those many things the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, has taught us are summed up for us in the Apostles' Creed. We confess thus our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. There are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion. They may do so. Not sure if they're all going to be at the VBS service or not. Where one, two, or three are gathered together. How you doing today? You thirsty? Okay, we won't share this water. It's okay. All right. What's this good for?
Hydration.
Hydration. Yeah. How often do you drink water per day? What do you think? How many times do you take a glass of water? You don't know? A lot? Good for you. So you stay hydrated. Because what do you do during the day that would make you thirsty? Yeah, you're wrong. Different day, right? The water's good. Where'd the water come from?
From lakes.
From lakes? Yeah. Oceans. Yep. Rivers, excellent. Who created all that? God did, right? So God has given us water in many different forms, even so we can drink it from a bottle like this. So we can have fish. You like the fish? In rivers and streams and lakes and oceans. Yeah, right? Where do those fish come from?
God.
There's a theme here, right? God provides what we need, right? Physically provides water, fish to swim in, fish to eat then, water to drink, keep us hydrated. And right there, what do we call that piece of furniture right here? Baptism font? What happens there?
Baptismal font.
Yeah, the baptismal font. What happens there, do you know?
You get baptized.
You get baptized. And who works in your heart when you're baptized?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right? So this water is important, right? And that water is really important, wouldn't you say? Which water do we want to share with people?
Both.
Great answer. Exactly, right? Because people are physically thirsty, but people are also spiritually thirsty. And you and I, along with everyone here, we have an opportunity to share both kinds of water every day. Let's pray about this, right? Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of water. The water we can drink, the water we can swim in, the water we can get fish from, the water we can use to put out fires. So many blessings, Lord, through the gift of water. But especially we thank you for the gift of the waters of baptism, which are empowered by your holy word to work faith in us. And also then through your word, we are able to stay in faith. So as we drink water, may that remind us of the blessings of water from your hand, and especially then remind us of the waters of baptism, by which you have saved us from ourselves, from our sin. Help us share with others then these waters of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks for coming up. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 748. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this possible from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus back in on the words of the Old Testament reading, so we hear once again these words from Numbers chapter 27. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the great shepherd of the sheep who shed his precious blood for us. When it comes to promises of God, which promise comes immediately to your mind? Think about that for a few seconds, and if you're bold enough and want to, shout it out. Salvation. Sending his son. Any others?
I'm with you always.
Excellent reminders of God's promises, which he has kept and will continue to keep. He is with us always, past, present, and future. He is our salvation. He sent his son, as promised, into this world, who shed his blood, his precious blood, for us. How important it is for us to daily keep in mind the promises of God and the fact that he has every intention of fulfilling his promises. And some of the proof of that is the fact that he has already kept promises, clearly stated in his word. And his word no one can dispute, try as they may. That word was important to the children of Israel in the Old Testament as they were getting ready to enter the promised land. Oh, it was quite a journey though, wasn't it? From being slaves in Egypt to about to enter the promised land of Canaan. A land which they did not earn or merit, but a land that was going to be freely given to them by God's grace and mercy according to his promise. And so as we also and the children of Israel can say, we can count on God's promises. Promises related to the promised land and promises related to providing all our needs. Moses was to lead the people to the promised land, and he did. And he was hoping that he would be able to lead the people not only to the promised land, but be able to cross the threshold into the promised land. Some of us know the reason why he was not able to lead God's people, the children of Israel, into that promised land. It's alluded to in our text for today. Can you blame Moses for being upset with God's people, the children of Israel? Because what did God do for them? He led them out of slavery conditions in Egypt. And he was going to lead them to a great land. But yet, what did the people do pretty much constantly all the way from Egypt to the doorstep of the promised land? It's too hot. It's too cold. I'm hungry. Well, not that food. Moses, why'd you lead us out here in the desert? We were better off being slaves in Egypt. And Moses would say, really? Because God can send you back there. Has much changed today? God is leading us to the promised land of heaven. And what do? Until we get there? Oh, it's too hot. It's too cold. I'm hungry. Not that food. Lord, we were better off being unbelievers. Oh, really? And yet, in spite of us, what does the Lord do? He keeps his promises. He promised that the children of Israel would get to that earthly promised land, and he has promised that you and I will get to the heavenly promised land. He keeps his end of the deal. And so while Moses was not going to be able to lead God's people into the earthly promised land, God, out of his mercy, gave Moses a privilege. He said, you're going to be able to go and see that promised land. And so Moses, later on, was going to be able to do that. And then he was going to be gathered up to his fathers, just as his brother Aaron was. Now, Moses was a great leader, right? A lot of people put stock in Moses and the fact that through him the Ten Commandments came to us. But what is he, after all? He's a human being just like you and me. Subject to sin, he disobeyed God's command. God said, just talk to that rock and water will come out for God's people. But Moses was so angry, and in a sense we can't blame him for being angry, he struck that rock. And because of that, he was not going to be able to enter the earthly promised land, but he would be able to enter the greater promised land, that of heaven. Now, Moses could have sat there and complained and said, Lord, I know you're being good to me and let me see this earthly promised land. Just let me go in. Let me finish the task. No, he didn't do that, did he, right? We're not told that. What did he say? Lord, provide these people a shepherd. Moses knew that these people would not survive on their own. Without a shepherd, they would have been wandering in the desert another 40 years. Talk about complaining. But no, he prayed for a shepherd, not just any shepherd, one who would care about God first of all, one who would care about these people, and one that the people would be able to respect, who would lead them into that promised land and help them figure out what they're supposed to do while in that promised land, keeping their eyes always focused on the greater promised land. And so the Lord said, I agree with you. In fact, I've always had that in mind. Joshua is going to be the one who is going to succeed you. A man after God's own heart and a man after Moses' own heart, who had been by Moses' side, who had seen the great things that Moses was able to do by God's hand, and would be in a position to carry on. And so there was a big commissioning to make it clear to the children of Israel that there's going to be a new shepherd. Don't treat him any differently than you treated Moses, minus the complaining part. Treat him with respect as he is God's shepherd to lead you. And to remind you that he is God's shepherd, he is going to receive instruction from the high priest. Moses got it directly. Joshua was going to get it through the high priest. God would talk to Joshua directly too. But just to show that all aspects of the children of Israel's life was connected to God, Joshua would be in close communication with Eleazar the priest. God got his people to the promised land, and we know the rest of the story. He got them into that promised land. A promised land they were not able to keep because they ended up acting like sheep without a shepherd, because unfortunately there were shepherds among them who were not faithful, only looking out for themselves. But God still remained true to his promise, and so there were people from the children of Israel who would make it to the heavenly promised land. And just as you and I, not everyone unfortunately is going to make it to that heavenly promised land, because not God is faithful to his promise, but because we will wander away and in stubbornness not come back to God's water of life. And yet God still remains true to his promise. And so while there is still breath in each and every one of us, and in our friends and families who have strayed away, we want to reach out to them with the water of life. Remind them of the baptism that they received, how God worked in their life and promised to do so through those waters. Not because of the water itself, it has no special significance apart from the Word of God, but with that Word of God, it is powerful. Which then leads us to the thought that God provides for all our needs. He provided for the children of Israel beautifully, getting them to the desert. Their sandals never wore out. Not good for shoe stores. Their clothing remained intact. They had food and water. Doesn't God still provide for us today? Do we have shoes? Maybe they wear out, but we're able to get new shoes. We have clothing, thankfully. We have food and water. God indeed provides for all of our needs. And he provides for our most important need, that of a Savior from sin. Because again, left to ourselves, as noted earlier, we are sheep without a shepherd. We are not one with God when we come out of the womb. In fact, we're not one with God when we're conceived in the flesh. And we continually show evidence that we want to stray from God, even as children of God. Because as the Apostle Paul has pointed out, that old Adam in us, well, likes to raise its ugly head from time to time. And so even with Paul, we have to say, the good that I want to do, I do not always do. What a wretched man I am. And so our salvation is not because we are so good, but because God is so good and merciful. If you ever doubt God's promises, if you ever doubt that God has provided and continues to provide for us, hold up that bottle of water. Or when you take water from the tap, wow, where'd that water come from? From God. He is good to us. He cares about our bodies, the bodies he created. If we don't drink, that's not on him. Most importantly, remember the waters of baptism. One of the reasons why it's placed so significantly in our house of worship is to always be reminded it's through the font that we are able to approach the altar and approach God in prayer. It's those waters of life which we need from infancy on. They remind us what happened there. Our old Adam was drowned. New man arose. Every day, then, we are to think upon our baptism, to drown that old Adam, so that that new man may daily arise in God's new mercies each and every day and live our life for him out of thanksgiving, just as the children of Israel were to do. So not only has God provided us physical blessings, spiritual blessings, he also provides us with shepherds, pastors, teachers, brothers and sisters in faith, for the purpose of encouraging one another in the way that we are to go. As the book of Hebrews says, let us not give a meeting together, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God help us encourage one another. Remind people of the blessings, where they come from, the physical, what may seem mundane, to the spiritual, very significant. Drink that glass of water and enjoy it. Praise God. Reflect on your baptism and the baptism of others. Praise God. Live your life according to it. Share that opportunity, that good news that comes through baptism with others, that Jesus died for our sins as promised and rose again. And so if you ever doubt God's promises and his ability to provide, you got water, you got the baptism font, you got the cross and the empty tomb. And to top it off, you got God's holy word, which reminds us each and every day the opportunity, each and every day, of God's goodness to us. That, in summary, is what our children learned in VBS this past week, the importance of water physically and spiritually. As God used water to save Moses as a baby, through water the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land. Through water, God allowed Naaman to be healed of his leprosy. Through water, God saved Paul and all his companions on that way to Rome. And through water, Jesus has saved each and every one of us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow indeed. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. We pray, Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. O Lord God, we thank you for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we have received through him. We thank you that through his perfect life and his obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and pardon for all of our sins. We thank you that in his resurrection, we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in his ascension to the right hand of your majesty, we have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. Lord of life, you chasten and you heal. We ask for your hand of healing on Michael Walter, the brother of Lynn Clark, as he faces his own health challenges. Help the medical team find answers and therefore relief for him. Turn his eyes to Jesus for a sure and everlasting hope. As you have called Andy Schwieger to yourself in heaven this past Saturday, we thank you for the gift of faith you have given to him through the waters of baptism and how you have nurtured that faith all his years by way of your means of grace. As you have brought eternal relief to him, continue to bring comfort and healing to the family as they mourn his death and at the same time have reason to celebrate his life, especially his life in Jesus. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. The love of between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you, O Lord. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
We continue with our next hymn, There Is a Redeemer, 747 in the Blue Hymnal.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Lord, the Spirit, to think and do what is right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without you, may by your help be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Promise you can count on. Just to highlight the opportunity to grow in more of God's promises, affirmation of, we have Bible studies galore this morning here at in the church proper. We're looking at the Gospel of Mark. We also have a foundations, a member information course for review or for those looking to join St. Mark's taking place in the next building in the chapel. We also then have a teen opportunity in the upper level of this building, and then Sunday school and the various classrooms taking place. So plenty of opportunities to grow in God's Word. Guests among us, if you're visiting, please stop by our welcome center there in the lobby, and you'll be able to receive a free gift, no strings attached to that. Teens and Connects, 20s and 30-year-olds, we have an open gym scheduled for tomorrow night from 6:30 to 8:30. Teens, for today, if you're interested, we do have a mini-golf outing planned, so you can meet here at St. Mark's at noon, and we'll go from there. Next week, we have an opportunity for fellowship and good food. God provides. He is good. A potluck opportunity. See the weekly news for more information. And also be an opportunity to meet and greet our new principal and his wife. I know maybe all of you met them last week. But if not, I'm just going to ask them to stand one more time. Greg and Lisa Thiesfeldt. They're settled in their new home, and we look forward to their work among us. May it be a blessing. We know it will be. Now, there is a letter from Missionary Markwart there on the information board by the LWMS information. So for those who know him, please take some time to read that. If you don't, read that letter too. It's a good way to know what they're doing on our behalf overseas. Details regarding Andy's victory service are still pending. We'll get those out to you as soon as we can. So feel free to call the office in a few days, and we'll see if we have information then. If not, we'll get it to you one way or another. Keep the family in our prayers. VBS, we had a great week. Thankful for all the children and volunteers that were able to be in our campus and hear God's word and God's promises connected to the water of life. And so just to wrap up the VBS week, we have a video, but that video also contains man camps, pictures, as well as Tree of Life. So a 3-for-1, such a deal. Have a great day in the Lord.
But now